We used to sing a song years ago, we don't need no music.
Come on, come on.
Jesus.
We don't need no music.
Yeah.
All we need is
Jesus.
Amen. Truly, we just thank God for his goodness and mercy. And we honor the Lord for all these. How many of you have a testimony that God's been good? Tonight, which will be coming from the book of Luke, chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 13 together. We're going to hold Luke chapter 18, Mark chapter 5, and Mark chapter 10. Amen. Truly, we just thank God. We thank God for, as Sister Gary said earlier, for those that were at the service on Wednesday evening. Amen. Thank God for the word of God that we've heard. And just we honor the Lord. And we had one of the ladies said they were, we just can't seem to get into it.
Come on.
And she did. She prays and she worshiped the Lord. She said she doesn't have anything else now but to worship God. She said she won't let anything stop her worship. Amen. The son was killed, was murdered 4 weeks ago. And she had a mind to praise God. So, you know, we have so many witnesses. Read verses 1 through 13 of this 11th chapter of Luke. Amen. First one reads, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.
And he said unto them, when you pray,
say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth.
Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves.
For a friend of mine in his journeys has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed.
And I say unto you,
ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. And Lord, have blessed the reading of the word. Can the congregation say the word of the Lord?
The word of the Lord.
Bless already.
Bless already.
You may be seated. Amen. Tonight, the subject that we're going to deal with is commensurate deliverance. Amen. This came to me while I was praying the other day. I said, I'm going to change that. But then every time I tried to change it, the Lord brought me back to commensurate deliverance. You know, we all know what commensurate means, right? You go for a job, they say your pay is what?
Commensurate
with your experience. In other words, our deliverance is dependent upon something. Amen. And commensurate deliverance means we can't expect to give God a little, expect to get a whole lot. Mm-hmm. We get exactly what we give. Paul tells the church of Galatians, we're going to reap exactly what we sow. So our deliverance, you know, a lot of times,
will be in relationship to how you present yourselves to God. Amen. So sometimes we want to give God just a little, then we expect God to give us
a lot.
Well, commensurate deliverance is what you give God, God in turn will give that back to you. Amen. For instance, if you go on a job, and if you have 20 years experience, that job is going to pay you much more than it's going to pay someone else that comes in with only a year's experience. Right. Amen. Amen. So that pay is commensurate with your experience. Or in other words, whatever you have to offer, that's what you get in equal pay. As in the natural, so in the spiritual. Amen. The Bible says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap. And be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall
reap.
But there's a condition to us reaping. Amen. If we want, we can't, in the midst of whatever we're going through, quit on God.
Amen.
We can't get disheartened and feel as though God will not answer our prayer. So your deliverance is going to be based on what you give God. Well, here, actually, I'm going to skip down to verse 5. Verse 1, the disciples asked the Lord, teach us how to pray. All of this, beginning of verse 11, and then it goes on, is dealing with prayer. How do we present our petition before God? Amen. We're dealing with what? Prayer. So in order for you to get from God, you must be first, you have to present it to God. And verse 5 reads, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door now is shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. So he said, come back tomorrow. This is an inopportune moment. Amen. We are all settled in, and even though we understand your plight and the condition, we can't, he said, I can't help you tonight. Come back
tomorrow.
Amen. Sometimes that's how the position that God puts us in. We ask God for something and God said, I can't help you right now. Come back tomorrow. But he's trying to teach them a principle and ask, amen. Your deliverance is going to depend on what you give God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Next verse reads, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, he's in that relationship. That is not going to be what makes a difference. He said, yet because of importunity. Importunity is a persistent asking. It's a continuous asking. It's I refuse to be denied. Amen. He's teaching them a principle. When we go to God, sometimes we ask God today and we'll skip it for a few weeks. Or we ask God in the moment and then we'll let it go. He said, when you want something from God, you must be persistent. Amen. You have to persevere regardless to the obstacles, regardless to the challenges. Importunity means to persevere, to continue to ask. Right. Amen. And then he goes on to explain why he wants them to continue to ask. The next verse. And I said to you, ask and it what?
Shall be given.
He said, now, I'm teaching you a principle of what? Prayer. First of all, when you pray, you just can't come to God and just say, Lord, give it to me. He said, you must be persistent. Amen. You have to be effectual. You have to continue to come to God if you want commensurate deliverance. What you give is what you get back. Amen. Now, notice, he said, now, don't get caught up in the emotions. He said, because that's not going to change, even though we're friends. The emotional part of asking is not what makes the difference. What makes the difference is our persistence. Amen. As I heard somebody say, refuse to be denied. When Bishop was here teaching on prayer, one of the things that he said about prayer that stuck with me, he said, prayer for the child of God to be like drugs to the drug addict. He said we should be addicted to prayer.
Come on.
You know, this is the type of attitude we have to have in going to God. You know, an addict will kill, murder, do anything to get their drugs. Mm-hmm. Amen. They refuse to allow anything to stop them from getting what their addiction is craving, whether it's drug, alcohol, even nicotine. People won't let it, you know, you think, say, well, you know that's going to destroy you, but it's an addiction. They got to have it. Well, Bishop said that's how prayer should be for us.
Amen.
Nothing should stop us from that appointment with God. Nothing. Amen. This is the type of mind that we have in going to God. So he said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. In going to God and asking, now let's see what God, how Jesus is explaining, how and the consequences and what we receive when we ask properly. For everyone that asketh, he says what?
Receive it.
Receive it.
But it's not just any kind of asking, we're persistent in asking. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, he said it. That's fixed. Then, you know, it might not happen when we want to, but as we learned on Sunday, God will do it in his own time. Amen. So, well, Mary and Martha was looking for him 2 days and 4 days ago, but God comes in his own time. And that's the most important thing. So, he said, it shall be given unto him. And then he said, now, this is how God gives back to us. Amen. He said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him? God is not an imitator. God will give us exactly what we ask for, exactly how we ask for. Now, commensurate deliverance, we want God to do something for us. But a lot of times we allow the emotions of what we're going through to prevent us from approaching God the right way. Mm-hmm. Once again, a lot of times we allow the emotions of what we're going through to prevent us from going to God the right way. Mm-hmm. Amen. We'll go to God and we're on fire. But then we get hit with something unexpectedly and that same fire and pride dissipates. Mm-hmm. So we're not persistent. We do not ask God for opportunity. Amen. We almost feel as though God is going to let us down. Not by what we say, but how we act. So, why are you so down? Well, you just don't know. God knows everything about us. The scripture, he's acquainted with what? All of our ways. So there's nothing that's going on in the end of our life. So how are we asking God? Are we asking God for a bread and asking and expecting that he's going to give us a stone? How do we approach God? Do we go, he said he would give us just what we ask for, and then James said, as long as we don't ask for it amiss, just to consume it upon our own lust. So there's a right way to ask God. That's a proper way to ask God. And he said, a lot of times we have not because we don't ask God. And then we expect God to do everything. Whatever you give, it's how God's going to give back to you. So he said, if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Now, I don't like no eels, but you know, a lot of people like eels. If I go fishing, I caught an eel one time, and I was pulling it up. I said, man, this thing looks funny. When I got off the line, I said, I lose my hook and everything. Goodbye. Because I didn't want no serpent. I went for a fish. Amen. So what they said, well, when we ask God for a fish, God's not going to give us something that looks like a fish. These are things, bread and a stone. If you bite a stone, it's going to hurt you. A lot of fish, have you ever heard of an electric eel? Mm-hmm. If you get that electric eel, it will hurt you. Mm-hmm. When we go to God, God will never, ever do anything that's going to hurt us when we go to him in prayer. Amen. Amen. Amen? But it's how we are approaching God. Are we approaching God? Oh God, you're so big and I'm so unworthy. Listen, none of us are worthy. That's why we have grace. None of us are worthy. That's why we have grace. Amen. Grace is God's unmerited favor. something to hindrance, because the Bible says your sins and your iniquities will separate between you and your God. As long as we don't have sin and iniquities, when we approach God, we should go with the expectation that God is going to give us just what we ask for. Amen. He goes on in the next verse to say, now, you're not going to ask God for an egg, and he gives you a scorpion. Okay, over in Israel, when you bake bread, I don't know if you've ever seen, but I was in Israel, but if you bake bread, when it finishes, it looks like a stone in its color, the way it is brown. Amen. Well, over in Israel, they have a spider. When the scorpion rolls up, it looks like an egg, because all you see is the white. Well, see, once again, a scorpion will do what? Hurt you. We cannot have a mindset when we go to God and ask for something. God is going to give us a duplicate, an imitation that's going to hurt us. That's not God. In the next verse, he said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give what?
Goodness.
You mean, we give our kids or whoever associated with us something good, but then we expect that God is going to be unfair in giving back to us? Amen. A lot of times we say, well, God, I've been asking, you haven't done it. How are you asking? How are you presenting your petitions before God? Let's go to Luke chapter 18. We have to be persistent. We have to be consistent in asking God. Amen. And when we ask God, we expect that God is going to give us what we ask for if it's in his will. And if we do not ask for it, to consume them upon our lusts. Amen. If I got 10 cars, and this is facetious, if I got 10 cars, well, I'm going to ask God to give me an 11th car. Because that's just for my what? Lust. Amen. So God, the Bible said, God knows what things we have,
even
before we have. But you still have to
ask.
Okay? 18, well, we go through this fast, and then we go to Mark chapter 5. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to what?
Right.
Once again, and not to
faint.
When we go to God, you cannot go to God with one of those half-hearted prayers and a mindset of doubt to say, well, God, I'm going to ask, but you're not going to do it anyway. He said, no, when you come to God, you cannot faint. Mm-hmm. Amen. You got to come to God with some persistence. You got to come to God and ask for specifically what you want God to give you. Amen. Sometimes when we go to God, we're too vague in our requests. God gives us what we
ask
for. So when you ask for vagueness, God will give you vague. Amen. Prayer is important when you go to pray, when you go to God. You have to ask God for specifics. So he said, there was in a city a judge which what? Feared not God. Neither regardeth man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my
adversary.
And he would not for a while. He said, now, this is, he's teaching them what? The principle of prayer. Of how we get our requests before God. It's in principle. Amen? But after he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet, he said, this widow just won't leave me alone. This is the unjust judge. He's using this principle. This is how you need to go to God. Don't leave him alone. If he had not answered the prayer, don't give up on the prayer. You got to keep going. Just like this widow. He said, she kept what? Troubling Jesus. Bothering Jesus. All right? That's what the Jamaican preacher said. He would keep bothering Jesus. I was like, what is that word? He said, bothering. I said, okay. That's my wife's message. He said, they went to church. He said, keep bothering Jesus. What is a bother? Get somebody in Jamaica to tell me what that meant. It meant bother. They don't say the X, so it's just bother. Hey, man, but the essence is, when you want something from God, keep going to God for it. Amen. Don't stop. Be what? Persistent. Importunity, relationship doesn't mean anything. Your emotional condition doesn't change. All God wants to do is see you come to Him fervently and on fire. Because the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How do we approach God in our getting our requests? He's going to give us just what we ask for and how we ask for it. He said, she told me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she what?
Weary me.
Now we know we can't weary God, but God is teaching the principle. Don't get tired. Don't get faint. Don't quit. Keep asking. And you have the assurance of me because I'm God. Amen. That I will answer your prayer and request. But you can't quit in the middle of asking. Amen. Regardless of what the outcome looked like, regardless of the fact that your Lazarus is in the tomb, God said, you keep asking. Just ask. God said, and I will do it. It won't be according to your mindset, and it won't be according to your way, but I'm God. And because I'm God, you won't figure me out. Just you do your part. You have the promise and the guarantee from God that He will do His part. Now, why don't we have? Why is not God not doing it? It's not God. Our deliverance commensurate with the way we present it to God. Amen. We cannot give God a 5 and a 10 prayer here and a prayer next week over there and ask God, why did you do it? God said, I'm going to give it to you just like you asked. Amen. And the Lord said, hear what? Now, why would God use a judge? Because he is a what?
Judge.
He said, now this is how an unjust judge reacts. What would the judge of all the earth do right then? He's a judge of what? So he's comparing the unjust judge to him who is the what? Righteous judge. And shall not God avenge his? Are we God's elect? Hallelujah. Has God chosen us? The Bible said before the foundation of the world, God chose us in him. So we are God's elect. He has chosen us. Which cry what? Persist.
Thank you, Jesus.
You have not because you ask not. And if you're asking, the wrong way. You got to ask. He said, what? Cry what? Day and. In other words, this petition, God is on me. Amen. I don't care. I can't let anything stop me from getting my request from God. He said, though cry day and night, though he bears. You know, in other words, God said, I'm just waiting, I'm just patiently waiting to see when you're going to quit. You say you believe and you ask God, he that cometh to who? God. Must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Reward of them that. How are you seeking God? Oh God, do this. Oh God, you're not going to do it. You're supposed to seek him diligently. You're supposed to cry day and night. He said, even though it seemed like I'm not hearing you, he said, bear it on. Amen. In my own time, I'm going to do just what you ask. Amen. I read in a book once, this guy was writing about people and how they get so close to their blessings or their deliverance. And right when God gets ready to open the door, they quit.
Jesus.
Is that any of us tonight? Amen. Right before God opens the door, have we got faith?
Jesus.
Have we quit? God was about to do it and you quit on God. He said, bear long. Cry what? Day and night. He said, I tell you that he will advance them. It might not be your time. These are God's promises. This is the principle in prayer. This is an application in prayer. I don't know what you're praying about, but God knows. He said, now don't give up on that prayer. Don't faint on me. Don't quit. He said, cry unto me day and night. He said, if an unjust judge, hallelujah, is going to grant someone their petition because they weary them. He said, what about the judge of all the earth? He said, though I might be barren loads, you keep praying. You keep asking. You have a promise from God. It didn't happen yet. Have you quit? Hallelujah. A lot of times we say, no, I didn't quit. You didn't quit with your mouth, but you quit in your heart.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
When we go to God, God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at how we come to Him with our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
So He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find
faith on earth?
You can't quit on God. You can't lose hope on God. You got to have what?
Faith.
Now let's go to Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. We have to come to God the proper way. Now we're going to deal with two illustrations tonight of people that went to God for a need. Amen? Most of us know the story, but I'm going to try to present it in a different scenario so we can see that you can't allow what someone else may not have received from God to stop you from getting what you're supposed to get.
Amen.
You can't allow the naysayers to hinder your prayer. When we go to God, I don't care what anybody else has not got. But I say, when you come to me, you got to come in faith. Because without
faith
is what?
Impossible.
How are we approaching God in our prayer lives? Amen. In our spiritual life, are we approaching God through faith? Or do we automatically, when we come to God, expect that He's not going to, I'm going to ask, but God's not going to do it. No, He can't do it. Because the Bible said, if you're double-minded and you come with that kind of mindset, let not that man expect to receive.
Amen.
You got to come full of faith. Amen. Verse 21 reads, again, he entered into Capernaum, gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. So he's, the scenario that's being created, he's surrounded by what? A lot of people. Amen. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Well, skip down to verse 24. I don't want to go through all this, but this is Jairus. He went to Jesus. Okay, stop there for a minute. Hold it. And Jesus went with him, going to Jairus to heal his son. But I want you to pay particular attention to this. And much people followed him, and what? They were just all around Jesus. There was no breathing room. Amen. So we know that there are what? A whole lot of people. Amen?
Amen.
Next verse. And a certain woman which had an
issue of
blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew
worse.
When she had heard Jesus came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but the his clothes, I shall be
whole.
Now let's stop there for a minute. The woman was on the outside. She had to get to what? Jesus. She wasn't crying, she wasn't calling. She had purpose in her heart. She had to get to Jesus. Now, the woman really was disqualified to be in the crowd because she had an issue of blood. If you read Leviticus, I think chapter 15, verses 19 to like 31 or something, it tells you about anyone that's in this condition. They were unworthy, they were unqualified to be in the crowd. Anyone they touched was considered unclean and had to be ceremonially clean. She was not qualified to even be in worship. She could not approach the temple, and she definitely could not touch anyone. And if you read about Leviticus, she was so bad, whatever she said had to be clean. Whatever she touched had to be clean. Whoever she touched had to be clean. So according to the law, she should have stayed on the outside. Hallelujah. The law can't stop me when I gotta get to God. So this woman was disqualified, but she had purpose in her mind that nothing was going to stop her from getting to God. Even though the law said she couldn't do it, she had an inner drive. She had an importunity. She had a desire. She had a fire within her that she had to get to Jesus. This is all with what? We're talking about prayer. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue, he said, you know, I have a whole lot of people touching me, but something just happened. There's a change. Now, everybody was touching and drawing Jesus. Out of all those, let's say, thousands of people, how many got healed? Right? Because if anybody else got healed, it would have been addressed. All of those people thronging and crowding and pressing Jesus. Only one had the right mind in approaching the Lord. We do not approach God by the numbers. When we approach God, we approach him for our needs. It said the people thronged him. The woman was disqualified spiritually. She was disqualified. Naturally, she should have been an outcast because she had an issue which made her unclean. A lot of times, we look at ourselves, and you know what we do? We disqualify ourselves because of what we feel as though as our condition. Well, what God is saying, he said, don't go by your condition. Purpose to get to me. Amen. Don't allow anything or anyone else to stop you from getting to Jesus. Don't allow anything or anyone else to stop you from getting or putting your request to God. Now, the woman didn't say anything to anybody. The Bible says she said it where? In herself. That's why it's important the way that we approach God. Within yourself, how are you approaching him? Amen. Now, the thousands were approaching him, but they weren't doing it within themselves. How is it possible that only one person? Now we know whenever Jesus healed, they said when he brought the afflicted, the deaf, the lame, laying all unto Jesus. Not the lame, but the lame. He brought them all to Jesus, the blind. He said, and he healed them all. So whenever the Lord made a healing or did a healing, he recorded it in the book. How is it possible that only one woman out of all those thousands? She did not approach him like everybody else. Amen. She had a desire. And she approached him from the desire for what? Within herself. Tonight, your deliverance is commensurate with the way you go to God. Within ourselves, how are we approaching God? What mindset are we having? Amen. Are we going to God like, you know what? When I get to you, I'm like Jacob. I'm not going to let you go to you. Bless you. Once we get a hold of God in prayer, you know, that's why when you get to God, when you really desperate to get to God, now do you think this woman took her just a few seconds to get to Jesus, right? She had to what? Fight. She had to pull. She had to tug. Amen. She had to use everything because she was already weak from the blood condition. She had to do everything, but she was determined to get to Jesus. What little things have hindered us in our spiritual walk? What little things has caused us to lose our persistence to get to God? What little things have caused us to faint and become faint-hearted and to grow weary along the way? You can't reap if you faint. You can't reap if you don't press. The crowd, but only one was healed. Lord, when I go to you, I don't care what anybody else do, I'm going because I want it. Hallelujah. And I want it. I'm not going to let anyone talk me out of it. Amen. I'm not going to let anybody stop me. I don't care what they say. They said no one else has ever done it. But I got to get to him for myself. Right. And he said if I cry day and night, though he met alone with me, he will eventually answer my prayer. And he said maybe it might not be according to my time schedule, but his word declares he will answer me speedily. Well, God has not changed our circumstances. God has not granted us the deliverance because we're going the wrong way. Amen? Amen. You want to change. If God is the God of his word, and as we said on Sunday in John 10:35, says God's word cannot be broken. God is not going to say one thing. He's not going to say, you do this, you do that, this is what I do, and then he's going to break it. God is not like that. Amen. So we have to approach start the right way. So Jesus immediately anointed himself that what? He said, something went out of me. Mm-hmm. Something just happened. Someone just approached me the right way. Mm-hmm. He said, and when they came the right way, something went out of me. Virtue went out of him. Turned it out to the breath and said, who? Who touched me? Now the disciples said, Lord, what do you mean? Who touched you? All these people are pulling and tugging on you. Everybody was grabbing on Jesus. This is the day we live in. Everything is grabbing Jesus. The sinner, the homosexuals, the left. Everybody grabbing Jesus. Hallelujah, but they don't get healed. All of them was grabbing, pulling, and tugging. But only one got healed. Because she went right back. Amen. He said, you see the multitude thronging thee, and see thou who touch me. He's like, you know, Lord, you know, we know you're the Lord and you're the Savior, but you know, that's a question that you ask. How are you going to look around at all these people and figure out who touched you? Everybody's touching you. Hallelujah, that's a right touch when we go to God. That's a touch when we go to God and we grab a hold of him. Hallelujah, in faith, when we touch him, we know God says God something down on the inside. Yes. You don't have to tell me what he's done for you, because I got my own testimony for what God has done to me. For me. Yes. Amen. So this woman had been touched, and Jesus knew this wasn't an ordinary touch. How many of us go to God and it's not an ordinary touch? God, I'm going to touch you, hallelujah, from the inside. When I touch you, I feel a shaking going on.
Hallelujah.
I feel like you, that thing that had me bound, Lord, you loose me. Hallelujah. And you set me free. He said he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman fearing and trembling, well, why was she afraid and trembling? She had been healed. Amen. You know what the problem was? She was unclean. She knew she had no right to touch Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, a repentant heart. That's why I'm saying we can't be afraid to come to God when we get it right.
Thank you, Lord.
The woman was fearing and trembling because, according to the law, it had been all the way back from when Israel came out of Egypt. She should not have touched anyone, nor touched Jesus. But when she touched him, he felt something, and the woman immediately was afraid. But she didn't allow fear to stop her from getting to God.
Amen.
What's stopping us tonight?
Jesus.
What roadblocks, what hurdles, what obstacles is the devil using to stop us from getting our deliverance? What are the hurdles that's preventing us? Now, we can make up a whole lot of things. But when you purpose in your heart to get to God, nothing will stop you. Amen.
Amen.
Knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him. Now before this, she hadn't said anything. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now you would think she was expecting a rebuke because she knew God had done something for her. Amen. But the Bible said, whom God has cleansed, called thou not common or unclean. God had cleansed. Amen. When we go to God, don't go to God with your whole history. Don't drag all your laundry behind you and all the stuff you've done. Just come to God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. When you come to God broken, amen. Bible said, a broken heart and a contrite spirit, oh God, thou wilt not despise. How are we coming to God? Hallelujah. How are you approaching God? How are you presenting your petition before God? Now, she was expecting a rebuke. When you approach God the right way, he don't care about everything that happened before you got to it. He said, now go in peace. You thought he would give her a rebuke. But when we approach God the right way, not only does he heal us, but he sends us a way in. Somebody said, I got my blessing for God, and you don't have no peace. It's not scripture. When God blesses you, he gives you peace. Solomon in the book of Proverbs says it this way, the blessing of the Lord maketh
rich.
And he added,
no sorrow.
No sorrow. When God blesses you, he does it in a way that you don't have sorrow. When I left church, I was shouting. When I got home, I was still shouting. When I went to work, I was still shouting. When I came back, I had not lost my praise. I had not lost my joy. Amen. I had not lost my hope. I have peace. The devil knows that if he can torment us in our mind and bring about a lot of fear, where there's fear, there is what?
Torment.
The battle that he wages against us is not in our flesh, but in our
mind.
And then when he gets the mind, he acts out through the flesh. Fear has torment. That's not God. After she was healed, he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee
whole.
He said, now go in peace and be what?
Whole
of thy plague. So of all the hundreds or thousands that were thrown at Jesus, how many got healed?
One.
Come on, how many got healed?
One.
I ain't got my finger up. Come on. One. Will you be the one? Will you be the one?
Jesus.
You can't talk it. Amen. You have to be persistent. You have to ask. Then after you ask, you have to seek. Then after you seek, you have to knock. I have knocking, seeking all. But ask, seek, knock, right? You got to ask. Then after you ask God, you got to say, now, Lord, what do you want me to do? You got to do. We all want to say, God, do this for me. And then we stop right there. What about the other two? Seeking and then knocking. We have to give God our all. Effectual, fervent prayer of a
righteous
man.
Well,
if we are asking, we are fervent. Where's the fault? It's not in God. Because he gives us the assurance that the avail is what?
Much.
Last scripture, go over to Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. So we find out from this woman that had issue of blood for 12 years. Now she wasted all her living trying to get help from Dr. Mann. But Dr. Mann didn't have the answer. You'll find in life, there are a lot of things that people just cannot do for you. Amen. Like I said, I love my wife. I do everything, but there's some things I cannot do because I'm a man. I have limitations. She'll do everything for me, but there's some things that she cannot do for me because we have limitations. In the Bible, this is what the Lord said. There were men, these things are what?
Impossible.
But with God,
what
if God says all things are possible, why are you eliminating some things for God to do for you? Amen?
Amen.
If God says all things, what does all mean?
All.
It's only three letters, A-L-L. But it encompasses everything.
Yes.
He said, with man, these things are impossible. So a lot of things we've been trying to get some help, but guess what? We ask, seeking and knocking at the wrong door. If we go to God, all things are possible. Verse 46 read. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people. What we got now? Another crowd. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
A great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side. Alright, so it's a whole lot of people. Now he couldn't get to Jesus. Because he was what? Blind. Amen? Next verse. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Lord, you too close. How many know he's too close?
Come on.
We used to sing a song, why would I call? Lord, son. How did he know he didn't sin? Amen. So how did he know? Why did he feel the need to cry out? There was something down on the
inside.
Hallelujah. We better drive to get to God. I guarantee you, nothing can stop it. Jesus, our son of David, he said, have mercy
on me.
On me. And many charged him that he should hold his
peace.
That's what the crowd will do. Even in church, unfortunately, some people say, brother, sister, elder, whatever. No, you ought not be praying for that. When you want something bad enough from God.
Come on.
I said, when you want something bad enough from God, you won't allow anyone to prevent you. They told him to hold his peace. But the more they tried to get him to shut up, the more he couldn't get to him. Lord, I got to get your attention. You may not pass this way again. Hallelujah. So I says, I can't get to you. Lord, you will hear my cry. He may not pass this way again for you. So while I'm in church, Lord, you'll hear my cry. And it's not an audible voice, but down in my soul, I got to get to Jesus. Lord, I got a need right now, and I need you.
I'm not going to let anybody else stop me from getting to Jesus. He cried the what?
More.
And a great deal. He was making a racket. He was making some commotion. Amen, because she needed Jesus. Now, he heard, so you know Jesus wasn't there. He was too far away. So he had to do what?
Cry out.
Jesus. Jesus! He was crying out. I got to get to him. I promise God, listen.
You
need something, you better cry out. He cried out for what more? Don't let anybody intimidate you. God will hear your humble cry. Amen. Have mercy on me. And Jesus,
got
his attention. Have you got his attention? He was walking, but this man made so much of a commotion that he what? Stood still. And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of
good comfort.
For arise, because he
called me.
Now you know somebody had to help him get to Jesus. Because he was what? But the Lord stopped. He said, bring him to me.
Come on.
Amen. If you have a need, just
bring it
to me. If there's a need in your life, God said, bring him to me. Amen.
Amen.
And he
cast away his garment.
He said, you know what? I can't go to Jesus in these kind of clothes. I can't bring this. What he had on was beggar stuff. He said, you know what he said? He said, I'm about to be healed. I don't have any need of this anymore. He was making a faith move before he got delivered. Before he got delivered, he cast all the stuff that he said, I'm getting rid of this. Because I know God is getting ready to do something for me. Those garments that have been having you bear, it's time to cast them away. Because God calleth for thee. I'm not going to be begging anymore. I'm not going to be sitting by the wayside anymore. I'm not going to be on the outside anymore. I'm going to be in the dark. Amen. So the Bible says, he cast his garment away and now, how about what they came? Like Jesus just said, come on, Bartimaeus, because those blind people can follow you with their voice. Amen. He might have been tripping and stumbling and running into people, but he kept going until he got to the voice. What's stopping you from getting to the voice? Jesus is calling. Hallelujah. He's calling you to come. What's preventing you from getting
to the voice. Jesus answered, said, now do you think Jesus already knew what he wanted?
Yeah. Right.
Amen?
Right.
Because he knows what?
All things.
Even before you
ask.
So did the Lord do what he wanted?
Yes.
But in order for us to get to God, we must make our request and our petition made known unto him. Even though he knew what he needed, he knew what he wanted, he had to make his petition or request known unto God. How does he do it? Through prayer. Amen? He said, what would thou that I should do unto thee? Now, he's already blind. He cast off his garments. The Lord said unto him, and the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might
receive my sight.
God could not do anything until he made his request called unto him. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy
faith
has made thee whole. The one with the issue of blood, he said, thy faith has made thee whole. Tonight we have not because we ask God. Commensurate deliverance we do need to ask God. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Wait a minute. Sometimes God give us something. When we get it,
we don't
follow. We go away from Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If he's giving it to you, shouldn't that give you a greater loyalty and a dedication to do what? Follow Jesus. Now, once again, there was a whole crowd of people around Jesus. How many got healed?
One.
Because when it's what?
Faith.
Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find
faith
on the earth? Then another occasion, when he healed a blind man, he said, according to your
faith.
So be it unto you as we stand. Commensurate deliverance means God will only give us what we ask of him and how we ask. When God has been so faithful to give us our requests, you know, one of the things that the Lord has been dealing with me about is God gives us a blessing, the promise of our prayer request. God gives it to us. Then the very blessing, God uses the blessing to test our faithfulness in him. Amen? When the blind man got his blessing, God tested his faithfulness. Well, how did he test it? Did he follow him or did he go the other way? The way the devil has sidetracked. I put it in this week's thing. My wife said, why did you use bamboozle? Because that's what came to my mind when I was doing it. Bamboozle. I said, what's a bamboozle? It ain't a bamboozle. It ain't a monkey or whatever. Bamboozle. It ain't a bamboozle. It's a bamboozle. I'm like, you know, I'm like, what is a bamboozle? Then when I looked it up, I said, well, I guess that's right. Bamboozle. What he does, it means he confuses us. He tricks us. He plays in our mind to deceive us, forgetting what God has promised us. The only way that we don't get from God is when we approach God the wrong way. If we approach, wait a minute, so sorry, let me turn it way down. When you approach God through faith, you have the assurance that God will give you your request. But when God gives you your blessing, he will test you with the blessing. Just like when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. When he gave them the deliverance, then he turned around and used their deliverance to test their faithfulness to him. Amen? Tonight, what type of deliverance do you want? The deliverance you want, you have to present that to God through faith. Don't look at anybody else. Don't worry about what anyone else has done and have not got God. When you go to God, you have to go to God for yourself. Amen. We just got to believe God tonight. trust God, honor God, and God.